So, data-based strategy for political will. And I'm going to start by saying anybody who's done advocacy knows data, the facts, are the least important aspect of generating political will. The thing that's important about data is that if you don't get it right, you can get trapped. So you need to get your data right. But if you're actually doing advocacy, if you're actually trying to mobilize political will, you've got to think about interest, you've got to think about power, and you've got to think about cultural mythologies, because that's where that game really gets played out. This is part of what enters the door, gets you into the ball game, doesn't win the ball game. And the other interesting thing about doing politics is, as you'll see as I go forward, this is a story a little bit like bringing those really shiny balloons to a kid's birthday party. It's really exciting, the party's fun, and the balloons all eventually deflate. So, but this is about public health, and it's about data. So thinking about public health, this is old hat to a lot of you, I'm sure. If you're really talking about prevention, there's three ways to think about it, even in the world of prevention. One is starting from the bottom. Normally, prevention means early detection, case management, really getting there early. If you're really being progressive, it's about disease prevention, lowering, dealing with some of the risk factors, delaying the onset. But what we're talking about here is health promotion. How do you build on strengths? How do you make people less likely to get sick in the first place? And the approach that we've been using is Thomas Friedan's health impact pyramid. Getting this published in the public health literature is probably the most important thing for strategy and for generating political will in the last 25 years. It finally means that the profession understands where it's coming from. So, using another person, Julius Richmond, former Surgeon General, he says there's three strategic tasks for public health. One is to develop a knowledge base that requires the research, that requires knowing the facts. Two is using effective social strategies, not just medicine. Health is a holistic process. You really have to think about the whole person and the whole community. And third is mobilizing political will. So you need your facts, you need your research, you need to have practitioners who are experimenting from whom you can learn, and then you need to generate the political will. So the group that I was working with to make this happen is a thing called NECON, and it's the New England Conference for Health Promotion and Disease Prevention, which is why we call it NECON. So the job of NECON, it's one of the only regional public health groups in the country. Its focus is on bringing together researchers and practitioners and policymakers about a primary prevention set of issues to develop policy. It's a very unique process, and it's been very exciting to work with them. Now, before I said that the things that make political will happen, interest, power, and cultural mythology, but just stepping back even further, it's really about mass movements is what sets the foundation. So the movements of the 1960s, whose graduates are now having something senior to do in many fields, has changed the culture of public health. So you now have people like Friedan who are beginning to think in more holistic ways. So first comes the movement, and then it translates and trickles into the professional change. Second thing you really need is institutional reform. That's the goal, and that's where you really get into the power and the interests. How do you make operations happen differently? And finally, you need to have an organization that pushes it. Well-meaning heroes are nice, and they burn out. So you need to have something that's got sustainable efforts. So trying to put those together, NECON has cultivated political connections, and the New England Governors Conference charged NECON 20-odd years ago, or more now, to help them figure it out. You know, you're at that point they were dealing with AIDS and mental health, the whole variety of issues. Well, when obesity started coming out onto the horizon, NECON said, okay, how do we pull together, how do we get ahead of that curve as well? So Dr. Walter Willett from the Harvard School of Public Health, my colleague, my boss, pulled together a bunch of people, over 100, to create, over a two-year period, a a strategic plan for the prevention and control of overweight and obesity in New England. Why we keep coming up with these titles, I don't know. But it came up with 8 areas of concern or for action. Population, outcomes and behaviors, healthcare, insurance, schools and youth, work sites and employers, you can read it. But the bottom one, data for action, is where we thought there was a opportunity for immediate action within the public health community. So we decided to create a healthy weight trends report. And the idea here was, how do we increase support, public support, for primary prevention? Again, not the disease early onset stuff, not the medicine, but the environmental, the primary prevention. We were focusing, because NECON is a state-level organization in the region, on state-level decision-makers. How do we grab their attention? Well, it wasn't just by having the facts. That might work within the public health department, but if you want the legislature and the governor, it's got to have a certain saliency. It's got to be media savvy. It's got to be exciting, and it's got to be outrageous, some combination. But it won't get to that point if the governor turns to the head of the Public Health Commission and says, what do you think? Is this interesting? Oh, a bunch of garbage. I don't know. So it's got to have value to the public health world. In fact, it's got to add value, because it's not the commissioner of public health or the secretary of Health and Human Services who's going to do this. It's their 3-level down underlings who are going to give us the data. And they've got too much to do. So how do we make it worth their while? How do we make it attract public and media attention? Because I think politically, how do you get new people involved in the process? The same old people always go to these meetings. And I've got 2 minutes. So, that's not even 10. Oh, I have 5 minutes. Phew, man, that's scary. Okay, so we did a process of a regional effort where, okay. Okay. Regional effort. State teams. We had 4 people from each of the 6 New England states. We had a regional network of researchers from most of the public health schools, medical schools, and a huge bunch of collaborating organizations. And the reason we used them, not only to build new constituency, because a lot of the data we were looking for just didn't exist. Talked to over 100 people. Okay. Talked to over 100 people around the region. We talked about what would you think would be a good set of criteria. We distributed lists. We edited what they wanted. We got phone calls. Working with the new partners was an enormous amount of work. We did the whole thing again and again and again. And what we hoped to end up with was hard copy, which you could hand out to the press. You need graphs and pictures that they could reprint. Policy recommendations, and since we won't have time, it's at the end of all the policy recommendations we came up with. And then we're going to have a whole bunch of stuff online, so you could download it and influence the public, as well as the media. What criteria did we use? Well, we wanted it to be primary prevention. So it was really about the environment. If you've been following the putting prevention to work stuff, there's the policy, systems, and environment. We needed it to be hard, concrete. It was literally concrete environment. Has to be research-based, has to have some national target that you're aiming towards. Otherwise, I could just make it up, which I did occasionally. You had to be able to measure it. More than that, it had to be available. This was our biggest problem. It turns out most of what you want to know isn't being collected. So that's a huge problem. It gets worse as you go on. Actionable at the state level. Has to add value, as I mentioned. It has to correlate with all the other data they already have to do. So what were the indicators we came up with? Well, first was population outcomes. I don't like particularly outcomes. I'd rather go down one step. So BMI is less interesting than behaviors, how many miles people walk. And that, to me, is less actionable than how many miles of sidewalk they have. So we tried to push down. But this is what people expect, so you have to have it. And we were only allowed 12. That was the deal. Media doesn't pay attention to more than 15. Schools and youth. Built environment. Some of this is outcome. We kept trying to push, and we tried to build in some aspects of disparity. We ended up having to decide we needed separate disparity numbers, which I'll talk about in a second, literally a second. Social and cultural environment, economics, and some disparity measures. So things like upper income versus lower income. We didn't want to only do race. We wanted to do income. We wanted to do rural versus the states, rural versus urban, and age, old versus young, grades. So we went through a whole bunch, boys versus girls, and the results. It was really crazy trying to dig up this data. It was finding the new partners. We went through probably 15 to end up with 5. And to be honest, it didn't work very well either. Sometimes the leaders were very excited and the members didn't respond. Sometimes the leaders just said, what's in it for us? We tried to find new data, and we ended up not using, going beyond the normal CDC data sets and using from the Highway Administration, from the FBI. You had to really expand the available data because that turned out to be a lot easier than trying to find new one. Thin line of political relevance. Here's unfortunately where the balloon goes down. This was being done in 2007, 2008. Obama wins, and suddenly there's a new agenda. Politics is about healthcare reform, which turns out to be about health insurance reform, and primary issues get wrapped into it, so it becomes very exciting, but not at the same level. So we have to change what we do, and we now are revamping this whole process just before we were ready to unroll it, and doing it around health wellness and prevention as a whole rather than obesity in particular. So not a lot of difference, but just enough that it basically threw us off track for 3 years. So that's my thing, and thank you. Boy, you're brutal.